Carla, thank you for coming by.
What? I was trying to talk to you off the air, but you have your headphones up so loud.
About something?
Yeah, never
mind. Do you need to talk to me? Do we need a special talk about something?
Oh, sorry, Tim. He is the program director, you're right.
Just treat me with respect.
No shopping trips for you.
I only say it because it's not going to happen. All right. Let's see. Remember where that pad thai comes from? This is the guy above
Mark
me. Yeah. Man, it was the best thing. Yesterday, this is radio for you right here, just in case. Because I got this guy, and I remember, I don't want to give his name, but this guy who came by the other day, and he made an appointment to talk to me, because he's kind of a Scotty J. He was a guy, I don't know, he was like 42, 43, something like that. And he's...
Nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. But here's the thing, is that it's always guys who are in a normal, stable, high-income career. Those are always the guys who... Sarah's holding up a note.
Is that who?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh.
Are you writing a name?
Yeah.
Is that a person?
Never mind. You know, we are having the worst show. Just keep going.
No, it's the best show ever.
All right.
Holding up notes that we can't read.
Nobody else knows what we're talking
about. Telling jokes to each other off the air and then never revealing the punchline to the listeners.
Exactly. Starting off the show with a joke that we all laugh about. Don't even say the name of your classmate.
This is the sort of thing that leads to a 30 share. All I'm saying is that I get occasionally these guys, and it's like they're always guys in like normal jobs. They're always guys who have like high income professions. And then it's always the same. They're like, so I'm thinking of leaving this stable, high-income job and going into radio. I am 52. What advice do you have me? You know, for me. And my advice, am I being tested?
Is that fellow who just turned 52 looking for a job?
Love of God.
I'd love to do a weekend talk show.
All right.
I have a lot to say.
No, for the love of God.
I am a motivational speaker.
Okay, now listen. People are now texting me with wacky names of guys that they went to school with. Listen to this.
That's because you told them not to call. What are they supposed to do?
This is from Dennis. Dennis Pitchenbarger. Hey, I worked with... Okay, and it's putting in a lot of ellipses. It's a lot of, I worked with, dot, dot, dot. And doing the dots takes a lot of work, by the way, because you got to hit the one and then you got to wait. I worked with Richard Holder. He didn't go by Richard. Ha, ha. Ha. Anyway. I don't even remember what I was talking about now. Oh, we got this. Rick.
What did he go by?
I don't know. I believe he shortened Richard and went by Dick. Yeah, so says the text. See, it's funny because it's true.
Kristen's was the funniest.
What, Kristen?
With her abbreviation for the first name, Dick. With the last name.
Let's not see. No, you say it and people are reaching for the phones. You got to stop now and put it back down. Let's see. Ray, this is from from Tom, who came to Horns Across the Hawthorne. But Sarah and Tim, you guys saw the first official picture from Jason Crump, which is fantastic.
It is
awesome. It does remind me, you were going for that whole, you know, the guys in New York sitting on the beams as they were building the high rises. Exactly like that.
It's so I'm not trying to dangle it in front of anybody and make it like a guarantees or whatever. We're getting all of them kind of developed and looked at. Because Jason Crump, the guy who was the official photographer, there were two photographers, really, that everybody was paying attention to. One was Paul, the guy out on a boat. And he was sort of getting a lot of straight-on shots of the bridge. And then we had our good friend Jason, who was sort of lurking down at the end. And he was getting a lot of the photographs. He took a whole digital, whatever, like a memory card full. And then he shot a whole roll of film as well. And so the roll of film is still being developed this weekend. And then he gave us what he believed to be the best of all the digital photographs. And I looked at it this morning. And we're going to get a really high-resolution version. We'll get it posted on the website. Everybody will see it. So probably within a day or so. But, hold on, being text messaged again. It's important, I better answer it right now. Let's see. Okay. Now Aaron is texting me. Wait, hold on, I might as well do it all the way.
Wow, this is riveting, Rick.
No, it really is. This is from Aaron.
Me, like you did by the lake on Naboo. And
the geek in the city just says, I kissed my principal when I graduated, deep and long. All right, thank you. Thanks for that. My point is, That I saw the what Jason believes to be the best of the digital photographs this morning, and we have, I have always held up those photographs you see of like like 1920s, 1930s New York as like the best photographs ever. And there's that photograph that everybody knows that Sarah's actually got this at her place, where it's those construction workers and they're sitting there at like the 100th floor of some building that's being constructed, and they got there, their feet are dangling off the edge, and they got, you know, it's a guy named Smitty
eating sandwiches out of a lunch pail
with a thermos and a flask. Yeah, so, you know, they've got the, you know, they all look like Tom Joad. And so they, so we, but this photograph that we took, or if you've seen like the very beginning of Sky Captain, The World of Tomorrow, those great shots of 1930s New York, the photo looks a lot like that because it's got, the coins on the background. Don't think I didn't hear your phone just ring by the way with the text. What are you being, what are you being texted, Sarah?
Oh, it's something that doesn't have to do with what we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but that was all a lead up to this. This came to us via MySpace. This is from Tom. He says, I will admit to being a tool, except it's Rick's fault. I was at Horns Across the Hawthorne. Wait for it. Exactly 12 hours early. I assumed that purist Rick meant 0606, which would be 6.06 a.m. on 666. Oh. So there I was, at the crack of dawn, standing on the bridge, alone, waiting for crowds and friends who would never come. On the bridge, cursing Rick as a lame prankster and an a-hole. I would think a radio, quote, professional, end quote, like Rick, would have been a little clearer on the a.m. As though we didn't say p.m. on every single posting about this.
Yeah, you didn't count down the time every single day during the show.
Well, no, like I was on the air. You're just 4 hours away. We're going to be gathering. All right. This is all in metric time, friend. Also, I should have known there was no way Rick and Sarah would be getting up that early. Also, Sarah has a job, by the way.
Yeah, I was doing the traffic reports at 6. All right,
way so back then.
Way back. Remember when Sarah had a job?
Remember when Sarah made more than minimum wage?
Eat that Thai food slowly.
What am I doing? I am the stupidest person alive.
Yes, it's true. Let's read this email. This email is titled, Sarah Leaving Coin. Oh, mistake! No. It says,
oh, great. Thank you.
Love your show. Wouldn't want to hear, let's see. Love your show, and I don't want you to go off the air. But don't you believe that putting all your employment eggs in the Rick Emerson Show basket might be a little ill-advised?
Yeah, I'm not putting all my eggs in this basket. I'm going to get another job. Mm-hmm. I can't live on
what I
make here.
You think somebody would wise up to the fact and put her on television at a time where people are actually watching? Say 5, 6, or 11?
Or different channel. No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that the station was getting traction, I believe, with Sarah Dillon in the morning.
For the record, this is not going to be my only job. I'm well aware that I'm probably going to be serving coffee somewhere.
Yeah, good times. Yeah. All right. By the way,
instead they keep bringing these carpet baggers into town that nobody can identify with.
Oh, Kristen's going to have fun producing this show next week. This, the best thing is, now, Isha, we're counting down to Sarah being gone for a week. Sarah, are you going to be, wait, you're going to be in Boston and then New York?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Boston from Saturday to Wednesday.
I had all this stuff I was going to get done in this segment. That's clearly not happening.
Well, Saturday to Tuesday, and then Heather and I are going to take the Shanghai bus from Boston to New York on Wednesday, and then we're going to stay with my friend Colin for a few nights in Manhattan.
Now, you're staying, you and your sister now, who is Colin and how do you know him?
Colin is one of my good friends I met in London when I studied there in college.
All right. And you were staying.
And we kept in touch. He's a really cool guy. Really, like, he goes out in suits and he has a lot of money. But this was, I met him when I had purple hair and had my LeBray pierced. And we were completely opposites and we still are. We get along really, really
Colin's
well.
Not expecting anything in exchange for you staying at his...
No, I've stayed with him before.
All right, I'm just saying. Let's see. Robert, listen, here we go. Here we go. And it begins. Robert emails in. Hey, I just wanted you to know I just talked to a guy on the phone named Harry Sackton. True story. You were the first person I thought of. Signed, Robert. There you go. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Brad.
Hi, Brad. How can I help
Hi,
you today?
Hi, Brad.
Well, I was just going to try to see the Caruso of radio.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I'm not so much the David Caruso as I am the...
I was actually talking to Sarah.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
It may be a great choice to leave the secure job.
Yeah.
and go with the insecure job.
I'm going to go to this
Nothing's
unstable,
ever secure, honey.
This unstable, unreliable thing, and okay. Yeah, all right.
Did Sarah actually watch the very first episode of Seinfeld? Because it was all about this hot chick who visits a guy in Manhattan to stay with him, but she doesn't expect anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Thank you. All right. There you go. That's Brad.
Brad just hasn't been nice to me lately.
No.
Maybe he didn't like his wedding present.
Maybe he didn't like you trying telling his 13-year-old how to break into the liquor cabinet.
You know, he's going to do it anyway. I told him to be respectful.
Listen to that. Be respectful and replace it with water afterwards, or at least they think they've got liquor left.
I told him to take a little bit from all of the bottles.
I might as well just go with it. You know, when we were growing up, there was this one friend, because normally when you are a teenager, your friends, sort of your friends that have access to sinful and forbidden things, they're spread out sometimes. There's one guy who has access to porn. There's one guy who has, and you kids today, you don't know about trying to find porn. You don't know what it was, you don't know what it was like. You don't understand what it was like to be you don't understand.
It was hidden in the boards of treehouses.
Waiting for that farmer's almanac to arrive, showing the ankles of saucy farm women everywhere. When I was a kid, we had a guy always. No, and you'd go out to the school, you would always go, you'd be playing at the playground, and there would be that chain link, that cyclone fencing, and there'd be, occasionally you would find, a 50-year-old, penthouse just sort of all soaked from the rain, and everything's just all, there, and you would find it, and some kid would go out to recess, he would discover the Playboy magazine or the Hustler magazine there, and that kid would be as a god to the rest of us. That could get, doesn't matter what you were doing, you were talking about a lunch trade, you were talking about a video game trade, the kid who had, the old beaten-up Hustler magazine, he loomed large at the school for the rest of that month, and he could get whatever he wanted from anybody. But there was always that guy. There was a guy who had access to his parents, vodka cabinet. Unless you were me, in which case there was my fat friend Virgil who had it all because his dad had a huge pile of pornography stored with the liquor and the Kiss 8-tracks. And they were all kept in one bad walnut grain cabinet that you could jimmy with a kitchen knife. Those were good times, my friends. All right, let's...
As we sat on the porch churning butter.
Let's end this now. This is a whole segment where a whole lot of nothing happened. That's what this was. All right. Let's break here. We'll come back. We'll do... Do you want to do Rickles tickets now, or do you want to break and do them, sir? We're going to break here. Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733. See, every so often an executive decision is called for, Kristen. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Just come up a few minutes. We'll give away a pair of tickets. See Don Rickles at Chinook Winds. We got the top five coming up. Jen Lane will be here from Barfly Magazine. Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio. It's the worst song you've ever heard. And more. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. You can also email if you'd like. It's Rick at Rick Emerson. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, am I interrupting your hair coloring appointment?
Yes, you know what I'm doing? I'm dyeing my hair pink.
Okay. You're free of the shackles of coin.
I don't have to wear a ponytail every day.
Yeah.
Now.
Were they, because you had you were doing a little blazer conservative kind of thing there?
You could only, be yourself so much when
you work for coin.
Well, no, but
there's only so much personality allowed.
No, really, on television in general, you can only, it's weird.
Did they pull you into office and go, about this individual expression you're showing?
I got about, I would say at least a total of at least 100 emails from people saying how much they hated my clothes, my hair.
We're going to need you to bland it up a little bit. You're seeming too much like an individual here at Coin, and that's the sort of thing we try to stamp out. Did they go into just a big flat-screen monitor and a guy with gray hair looking down? All right. It's 503-733-2970. Just few will talk to us. CNN Radio correspondent. Are these people calling about Don Rickles?
Line two is.
Do you suppose?
Line one is calling about trying to look at porn on his old black-and-white TV when he was younger.
All right. In just one short week, Scotty J will be here on a daily basis with us, by the way. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Hey, it's Steve. You remember when black and white TVs were still prevalent and you had the fine tuner on them? And you used to be able to get an HBO for free with either the volume or the picture. So those of us that were ingenious enough when we were back in grade school would stack two black and white TVs and we could fine-tune one picture in and fine-tune the volume in on the other one.
Are you serious?
For HBO when it had the porns on after midnight.
The porns. That's fantastic, by the way, that you just used that phrase. That there was the porns, and of course we had, I don't know, we always called it the Skinamax.
You know? Oh, yeah. But, well, HBO was great way before Skinamax or before Showtime had their late night.
Well, the thing is, when you're like 13, 14, and as my priest used to say, as your body is going through many changes, the bar is set so low for what you find titillating or arousing. You know what I mean? It's like
just like the
uncovered edge of a boob, you know, is enough. Like that would fuel you for like a month and a half. You'd be fine, baby. You didn't know, you know. Now I'm all jaded. Now it takes a lot of tentacles and midgets and clowns. And
I mean, HBO used to have full blown porn, and then you know you had your one loser friend that was the last one of your buddies to get a black and white or to get a color TV in the room.
Right.
Well, as soon as you got the color TV, no more fine tuning on the black and white picture.
See, this is. I'm telling you right now, and brother, believe me when I say that I understand and identify with what you're doing, but this is why women believe that we are all losers. Because women, while we were doing this, women were studying, they were learning a trade, skills, they were becoming mathletes, they were learning how to advance in the workplace. You and I are sitting there jamming a coat hanger into a television so I can see part of Phoebe Cates' left bosom.
The other one was, I'm from the Midwest, and CBC was prevalent. Well, if you look close enough to the Canadian border, you could get the French CBC. They showed everything.
Really? Think of how many men out. You could have written a novel with the energy you put into trying to see someone's buttocks on television, on a black and white television as a child. And don't, I'm right there, too. I'm not exempting myself. Here's the other thing. Do you remember this? Just roll with it. Do you remember you get that, like, there'd be the pay-per-view smut, and it was like if you were, like, between channels on that cable box, you could kind of get it for like, because the cable, now I think, what happens now if you try to get a pay-per-view? You kids, you know, what happens if you try to get a pay-per-view something now and you haven't subscribed? Is it just blank, Kristen?
Now
well,
it's blank.
If you're smart enough to get the cards out of Canada and not get it zapped by the cable company, then, or the satellite company, those usually work pretty well, too.
The amount of cumulative man-hours that have gone every year into trying to get a free glimpse of a woman's backside on television is truly staggering. Let me, just hold on a second. Now, Kristen, you are younger than I am. What happens now if you try to get something on pay-per-view and you have not paid for it?
Well, now, with the digital cable, it actually blocks it out.
So there's nothing.
Yeah, but when my first introduction to porn was actually through pay-per-view, and you can see, like, you could watch the entire video, but you would have to deal with the disclaimer at the bottom telling you to call every 5 seconds.
What? So was that you could see it?
Yeah.
What? Where did you go? Where was this? Where was I?
It was here in Portland. On cable.
I didn't have that. We didn't have anything. All we would have is we would tune in, and the picture would hold for about a second and a half when you first tuned into that channel, and then it would go to like squiggle vision. Then it would be all wavy, and the lines would be all there. So they would just give you the porn, but they would ask you to pay for it, kind of.
Yeah, and then sometimes they'd figure out, oh, we're giving you free porn, and then they cut you off in the middle. But by then it was like a half an hour.
And for how long do you need? Even if you're a girl, how long do you need? I mean, come on. That's, all right, well, fine. All right, there you go. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. What?
Things that come out of your mouth.
I'm saying men have a certain rapidity to certain... You know what I'm talking about.
Ed's on the phone.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
That's who I thought you were talking to.
Yes, Ed. CNN radio correspondent and expert on pornography of yore.
So I always like to call early so I can be enlightened.
I'm telling you, speaking of pay-per-view, Ed, I'm telling you, man, we're going to do a whole pay-per-view version of the show where you just hear the stuff that happens right before the mics go on, right after the mics have gone off.
That's good.
It is.
Those newscasts where they let things slip on the air that shouldn't.
Yeah, it's always somebody threatening to punch somebody else. You know, someone discussing some physical ailment that is not suitable for public airwaves. Someone, discussing a firing that's about to happen. It's all very intriguing. Hey, let me ask you this. Is it true that you are referred to by some people within the CNN hierarchy as Eddie Mac?
That can be, or Special Ed sometimes.
Special Ed. Who is it that calls you, Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio, who is it that calls you Eddie Mac?
That's Richard Weinbrauch.
And he is one of the bookers, right? Is he not?
Yeah, he's one of the producers, he'll call me Eddie Mac. I'll phone away and go, Eddie Mac, Portland wants you. I do a good impression of him, by the way.
See, and we've learned this, by the way, that everybody at CNN can do an impression of somebody else at CNN.
That's right.
Because Roop, Jim Roop in Los Angeles, he can do Gary Baumgarten in New York.
Gary Baumgarten?
Everybody can apparently do that. You can do Richard the Booker. Laura Caviezel could do somebody. She's done somebody on the phone. I think she was able to do Pat St. Clair, but Pat St. Clair has moved on to...
She can do Lisa Goddard.
She can do Lisa. Pat St. Clair has moved on to other opportunities. So
she's there, isn't she? She's still there with us. I see her every once in a while.
So she's,
Rick's feelings were hurt because Pat St. Clair decided not to
Pat
go on
St. Clair requested that she no longer be booked on this radio program.
Oh, is that right?
It is true. I am,
Oh, that. Well, you know, obviously she's misguided, but, I can't help that.
I do believe, now I have no evidence with which to support this allegation, but it is my firm belief that Pat St. Clair was, frightened of her own love for me. And why does everybody laugh when I say that? Am I so unlovable, Ed McCarthy?
Laughing because I just love coming on your show. It's funny. I look forward to it.
See, you embrace your love for me. You are zen with it. All right. Hey, let me ask you this. So you were, and they said that you were there through the entire hurricane thing. You were there before, during, after, and they keep referring to New Orleans sinking. I am not a learned man, so I don't really understand much about geology and whatnot. I don't understand what it is sinking into. That sounds dumb, but what is it? What is New Orleans sinking into?
Well, it's been sinking about an inch and a quarter, I guess, a year now, for about 50 years, certain parts of it. Now, the French who settled it were pretty smart. You know, where the French Quarter is, that area, that was the part of the city that didn't flood during Katrina.
Right.
So it was higher ground. But, you know, as they started to expand out, they started to move out, you know, to these reconverted swamplands, and that's the problem. So everything has been sinking. So they're thinking now that because this thing has been sinking for so long, for 50 years, that, you know, these levees were sinking too, and that was part of the reason that the water went over. I mean, you know, they're going lower. So that's what's, you don't mind if somebody sneezes in the audience, do you?
Nah.
That's all right.
What audience? Where are you?
I'm at home right now. That's Kathy.
You have an audience at your home?
Kathy sneezed, and she feels embarrassed. You don't have to be embarrassed because you're on the Rick Emerson show.
This is a slice of life right here. See, we are pulling back the curtain, and the people are seeing what happens behind the scenes. This is what endears the audience to this program, Ed.
That's the old allergy syndrome.
Let me ask you this. More importantly, does CNN think that you are actually somewhere reporting news? Does CNN know that you're at your home?
I am. Well, you know, there comes a certain point in the day. I was up at 2:30 Eastern this morning, and I put in a full 8 or 9 hours
This isn't like a Jason Blair thing, right? Where you're sitting at home and they think you're in Swaziland?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, okay.
Well, we do that too. But the other thing, I was talking about New Orleans sinking part of it. And now they got problems now, we're finding out, with the 85 million gallons of drinking water is leaking into the ground every day through the breaks in the water system. Isn't that nice?
Do you suppose that maybe God is attempting to tell something to the people who live there about perhaps relocating to a place that doesn't seem like it's teetering on the brink of destruction every day?
You know, it may be. And I think a lot of people have realized that, the ones that just got out of there and went to other cities. So they're probably going to, you know, realize that they're not going to let them build in some of those areas, too, which would make sense.
Yeah, all right. Well, and there's really no way of stopping this, right? Like, if it's going to sink, it's going to sink. There's not a lot of being
done
about
that. Why don't they move it to Montana? There's plenty of space up there. They're always begging for people.
Seriously. Why don't they just relocate everybody to Pocatello? That'd be fun.
They got to relocate them somewhere. I guess Houston and Atlanta have had enough.
Yeah, well, we do have a lot of problem citizens in this country. Large sections of Kansas and Utah, for example. Maybe you could just offer them some cheap land in New Orleans, come back in a couple years, problem solved. Everything has worked itself out.
Funny about today, I saw another study that New Orleans, after they all moved, everybody moved out, and the Hispanic population has tripled down there.
Well, here's a dumb question. All of the people who fled New Orleans and they all went to Houston and whatnot, are they just still like, are all those people still in Houston?
Yeah, some of them are. A lot of them are. A lot of them are still here in Atlanta. They're here in the outskirts of Atlanta and Georgia.
All right, that's Yeah, well, there's nothing that can be done about that. That's just going to be an ongoing source of news for like the next 30 years for us, I guess.
I think it is. And, you know, when you say the start of the hurricane season, it's not what I want to hear. Because I'll tell you what, I had my fill after Katrina.
Well, because, now, were you there? Did you stay all the way through it?
Yeah, I was. We were in Mobile first, and I was with Dick Giuliano.
Really?
You know, so we were there, we rode the thing out, you know, after 10.5 hours of that, and then we were down, and then I went down to Biloxi, and that was pretty nasty, watching all the caskets washed out of the cemetery and everything. It was really, I mean, there's just really so many disgusting aspects to that whole thing, and then went down to New Orleans, and, you know, the floods and everything else, and just not a nice time.
All right. Well, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Remember, enjoy the rest of your day, sir. We will talk to you soon.
Okay, Rick. Thank you.
All right.
You.
There you go. Thank you, sir. That is Ed McCarthy, who is not ashamed.
Oh, he can always laugh through the pain.
He really just has that great Burl Ives. Like, hello, kids. Come on by. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now go to your personal savior at the city desk. It is Tim Riley.
The Coin Tower, downtown Portland, Oregon. CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley Report. Okay, another trailblazer in trouble. This time it's Zach Randolph. Apparently he was doing a little street racing, traveling 50 and 60 miles an hour, blowing through a traffic signal at Southwest Broadway around 3 o'clock this morning. Police ended up pulling over a Dodge Magnum and a Cadillac Escalade, whatever that is, both of which were registered to Randolph. They believe the two vehicles were involved in street racing. Police also found two loaded guns in the front seat in one of the vehicles, although Randolph does not have a concealed... he does have a concealed weapons permit. One of the drivers who signed up for several violations, but since Randolph was not driving, he couldn't be given a ticket. This is not Randolph's first brush with the law. In 2003, he was arrested for driving under the influence of intoxicants.
All right. Everybody take a drink.
The Blazers published the following statement today. Due to the circumstances surrounding the Portland police stop on a car in which Trailblazer player Zach Randolph was a passenger, the team announced today it would conduct its own investigation, unquote.
Internal investigations always root at the real problem. We found that those are nothing short of a fantastic leap. I thought they fired everybody. Aren't they for sale? In the Trailblazers, aren't the Trailblazers for sale?
Are.
Trailblazers and the Rose Garden.
And the Castle in the Clouds.
Yeah. All right.
The team must withhold further comment pending the outcome of its investigation.
Yeah, okay.
Meanwhile,
I'm sure that justice will be swift and the Trailblazer. I'm sure that a Trailblazer player who breaks the law will get what he deserves and be treated with an iron fist, because that's what always happens to those guys.
Mm-hmm. Unless you work in administration, then you get into radio.
Yes.
All right, now for the Whitney Watch.
Here's your Whitney Watch. I love a little bit at the end there how it actually sounds like there's a piece of lung actually coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Tim Riley.
It is an absolute lie, and Miss Houston is evaluating her legal options at this time. Whitney is suing because of a brain tumor story. Whitney's publicist says it's an absolute lie, and Mrs. Houston is evaluating her legal options at this time. The National Enquirer might have to face a suit as Whitney Houston is evaluating the pros and cons filed against the tabloid.
I think Whitney Houston's just busy evaluating some paint, you know, like some white substance that she found behind the baseboard somewhere and wondering if it's cocaine or just some liquid paper that's dried up, and does she really care anyway? And also note, by the way, that the important thing in this story is that she is suing over, because we all remember that there were two different waves of Whitney stories, right? Mm-hmm. There was the wave of stories about how she had a tumor the size of a walnut inside her head, and then there was the story before that one, which is where, and I'm not, I'm reporting these allegations as a journalist, operating the public interest, convenience, and necessity. We were told that Whitney Houston, I am now reporting these things as news fact here, as part of the news program called The Rick Emerson Show, that Whitney Houston shunned all human contact, and I'm quoting now, sat for days on end in her own filth, pleasuring herself with adult toys and ignoring personal hygiene. So note that she is not suing about that story. At no point is she deciding to dispute that story. In no way is she contesting the truth of those allegations. It's only the tumor part.
Oh, part two.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to wake you.
I mean, you didn't have very much to say.
Here's... sorry? What else? There's nowhere else.
There were just a couple of sentences there, and then you just stopped like somebody pulled a plug.
There's nowhere else.
I was expecting more.
There's nowhere else to go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know. It's like, there's nothing. I mean, the sounder has a vibrator buzzing in the background and phlegm and somebody smoking something out of a bong. She apparently sits around. We had that story where she put on her own daughter's diaper and was wandering around the house wetting herself. There's nowhere I can go. There's nothing I can contribute to the story. I would just be distracting you from the actual cold, hard, soggy facts of the situation. There's nothing I can do now.
Crooner Michael Bolton is keen for ailing Whitney Houston to return to glory because he'd like her to sing one of his songs and perform it with her. It'll be a duet. Houston is reportedly
lucky us.
Struggling to overcome a relapse of drug abuse problems that have stalled her comeback. But the When a Man Loves a Woman singer, Bolton, is among the big names rooting for her. He says, I would really love to have Whitney Houston sing one of my songs. I've met and done fundraisers with her. I've never performed with her, though. She has a good voice.
She's among the big names rooting for her. Rodney Allen Rippey has also said that
a fine instrument and a good soul. I'd love her to sing one of my songs. I'd love Whitney to step up and deliver something with all she's got. Well, she might leave some of the things at home.
And look at the bag. Do we have that story that she buys her sex toys by the bag?
Yes.
She buys... And this is again now from someone who a proprietor of an adult novelty store who claims that she is a customer who reported that she bought often several. I mean, I don't know how long an adult toy is supposed to last. I don't know when you're supposed to have to replace it. But I'm just saying, if you're buying like 2, 3, 4, 5 at a go and multiples of, you know, the many varieties and, quote, bags full of batteries, end quote, you're either using them improperly or there's something very wrong with certain parts of your body, because I don't really know that they're supposed to be. I mean, it's like the... Anyway, let's bring the curtain down on this. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. There's your Whitney watch for Thursday. I can't... Thank you. Makes me want to scrub myself.
Yeah, allergy problems.
There you go. All right. I'm sure that's what it is. All right, it's Tim Riley.
Well, Senate Judiciary Chairman Arlen Specter wants Vice President Dick Cheney to stop trying to influence his committee's review of the White House warrantless surveillance program. It is neither pleasant nor easy to raise these issues at the administration of my own party. I do so because of their importance, says the Pennsylvania Republican, who wrote Cheney a 3-page letter yesterday. Specter is complaining that Cheney is lobbying other GOP Judiciary Committee members to oppose efforts to subpoena telephone company executives. Specter wants to find out what they did to aid the national security surveillance work. Specter said he's surprised that Cheney had sought to really undermine his own party committee actions. I'm really perplexed. So far, Cheney has not read Specter's letter.
I got this. Let's see. This is subject line, Coin TV. Rick, just wondering, could it be that Coin is touted as being a family-friendly station? Are they? I thought are they news
well,
for the
yeah,
whole?
Yeah, because they're bringing news home, so they want to bring it into the home.
Okay. Coin is touted as being a family-friendly station, and they got flack from viewers about Sarah. Is this possible? I'm not claiming this is true. This is
no, it's true. They did well when I first started working.
That hussy! I don't like that evil painted harlot who does the traffic in the morning. Dear advertiser, I will no longer be.
No, I got. Yeah, it kind of hurt the self-esteem a little bit, but I got over it.
I find that my husband is distracted by the bosoms on the traffic girl. Could you please find someone older and dowdier?
It was just a lot of complaints about my clothes, my hair, my makeup.
What year is this? What? Is that you're not wearing, like, a full body, you know?
A burka?
Seriously, I...
With glasses.
I just don't know how to dress.
It's not the Handmaid's Tale.
I don't know how to dress professionally, so, like, I try to put things together, but they never really look quite right.
All right.
Well, I think it's your own camera work.
Yes, the people... The human beings who run all the cameras down there, think about it, she continues.
Joystick has no heart.
I find... Go give those automation systems a stern talking to. Think about it. A majority of the conversations you have with her revolve around drinking and partying and her car being smashed while parked outside a liquor establishment. Could it be that they found that type of behavior was causing them to lose viewers, as most of their viewers are old people who have long ago stopped drinking or having any fun at all? Probably not, she says, but personally...
Well, they wouldn't talk about such things on television.
No, because it's family-friendly.
They talk about dusting.
She says, personally... I don't like Coyne because Kelly Day frightens me with her awful wigs and terrifying makeup. I find it disturbing. That's not our opinion, by the way. This is the opinion of Carol, who emails in.
Kelly Day is very tan.
I don't even know who Kelly Day is.
She's the anchor woman at night.
Okay.
With Jeff Gianola.
He's the guy with a huge head, right?
Yeah.
All right.
He was really nice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break here. Let's move on.
Okay. We need to give away the Rickles tickets.
We got to do the other side.
People have been waiting.
Well, this... Hold on. Hi there. Who is this?
This is Chris.
Hi. Okay, Chris. Now, at any point did I say we are now taking callers for the Rickles tickets?
No.
Oh.
You just thought
I'm being honest.
No, you just thought you'd hang out. Is this sort of like the guy who wants to sleep with his female friend and he just sort of hangs out because it's like he knows eventually she'll come home drunk and single and he's going to be there. Yeah, you're the ducky. You're just going to hang out. You're going to be there to cash in. All right.
He is holding that line.
Yes. Yes. Regrettably, that line's about to be hung up on now.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. There you go. 503-733-2... I can't do that. Everybody else, everybody would, they'd be annoyed. I'd be, there would be scorn and derision. All right. We're going to take caller number five now, actually. 503-733-2970.
Good luck, Chris.
503, this is going to be George again. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll take caller five. You will then have a choice of two different contests. During which you may win a pair of tickets to see Don Rickles at Chinook Winds this coming Saturday, featuring a free buffet. You stay there. Back after this, Jen Lane coming up, top five as well. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Salad Sea Radio. Don't go anywhere.